Welcome back to An Acquired Taste. Today, I want to talk about why early stage startup founders should be rooting for IPOs and M&A activity within the private market sector. So let me set the stage here. There are only a few ways that a private placement, private market, venture, you know, not public, publicly traded stock investor. So there's only a few ways that a private market investor will generate liquidity. And taking a step back, liquidity, what I mean by that, which is that is when your investment stops just being worth the paper it's printed on and it actually returns capital, cash, back to the investor. That's liquidity. Now, there are, again, only a couple ways that that happens. One is that the liquidity is actually erased or eliminated because the company they invested in goes to zero. They go out of business. There is no investment. They lose that stake in the company and therefore have nothing to it. It is technically a liquidity event, although it's not creating any positive liquidity. The second one is that the company is purchased, right, through a merger and acquisition by another entity. And when that happens, the purchasing company or the merging company will pay a cash equivalent or pay the equivalent in stocks that are transferable that presumably are public or otherwise liquid or the ability to liquidate them. And that's how then those investors can take their winnings out of that and they can either sell that stock for cash or they take the cash at settlement for the closing of that merger acquisition. The third way is an IPO or initial public offering. Fancy way of saying it's when a private company decides to list itself on a public stock exchange. So New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, whatever the case may be. Shares are issued. Those shares have a certain value. Those shares then become tradable effectively or redeemable, I should say, for cash. The fourth way is that you can sometimes take your illiquid position in a startup in the form of stock that is not publicly traded, and you can get somebody else to pay you for that stock, for those shares. And effectively, that's called a secondary transaction. Happens all the time, pretty common. Tends to happen in later stage companies when a new investor comes in or a secondary group wants a position in the company that they can't buy into in a current financing round. So they offer shareholders some money in exchange for their shares, and it's a secondary transaction. So that's really the only ways that happens. So why am I talking about startup founders rooting for IPOs and for M&A activity? Well, because not a lot of it's happening right now. Not a lot of IPOs. The IPOs that have happened, especially among kind of the high-flying startup tech sectors over the last 2 or 3 years, have either not materialized in the form of WeWork because somebody decided to read the S1 and realize that it was terrible, and that basically that IPO got abandoned. And then you have a bunch of them that did go IPO and through their public offering and are now trading below their initial public offering, sometimes referred to as a broken IPO. That has created less interest in new IPOs because they're not successful. People aren't making money. There isn't an appreciation in the value of the company past that initial public offering. It basically just makes an IPO unattractive for the companies and for the investors to some degree. You also haven't seen as much kind of merger and acquisition activity within kind of the venture space or venture-backed companies for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is interest rates are no longer zero. It costs money now, or it costs interest rate to borrow money, which most of these transactions, when M&A activity happens, when one company buys another company, they finance it. Well, they were financing it at 0% or darn near 0%. That's not an option anymore. So there's less activity based on that interest rate. Now, Will that change? Probably over time. I have no idea when. I'm not going to try to make that prediction. But without the M&A and without the IPOs, you are keeping investors illiquid for longer. Now, I don't know if you listened to a previous version or a previous episode of this podcast where we talked about illiquidity, but just very basically, illiquidity means an investor has placed an investment, taken cash or cash equivalents, and invested in a company, and that company has not returned that cash. So there's, like I said, there's only a few ways that happens. It could be an IPO, could be M&A, could be a secondary transaction, or frankly, it could be a zero liquidity event in the form of they've gone out of business. So we'll just focus on the three that matter, which is IPO, M&A, and secondary. The secondary markets are actually busier, seemingly, than they have been in the past. And part of that is probably driven, more than likely driven, off the fact that traditional liquidity routes through IPO and M&A are just more sparse than they have been. So when that stuff locks up and when liquidity becomes an issue for investors, it has a cascading effect, a downward effect, downward pressure on all types of private placement investing, all types of venture investing. In simplest terms, if you can't get your cash back, if you can't get your winnings back from those investments, you have less money to invest in new investments, or you have less money to continue investing in current investments. So you see an environment where it could be harder for venture funds to raise money from those investors, which means there are fewer venture funds active, which means there's less capital in the markets to fund startups, which means less or fewer startups get funded. And you can start to see how this all kind of pushes downward. So you're sitting there, you're an early stage founder, you're going, what do I care about IPOs? What do I care about M&As? That's what you care about, IPOs and M&A activity. If that doesn't pick back up, or until that picks back up, it puts downward pressure on every type of private placement investment, every stage of private placement or venture investing, from IPO down to concept stage, down to seed stage, pre-seed, all of that. So if you are an early stage founder, you're really rooting hard for that to happen. So what can you do? Bad news, not a lot. It goes back to the landscape and understanding that really it's how you operate going forward. Are you as capitally efficient as possible? Are you maximizing your investment dollars that you do have? Are you trying to extend your runway, as they say, the longer you can operate before you run out of cash? Are you focusing on revenue generating opportunities, right? Don't build forever. You have to sell at some point. Those are all things and considerations you should and need to make, understanding that the landscape is that there are fewer investment dollars than there have been in the last 2 years. Still a lot, but fewer deals being done than in the last 2 years, 3 years. So operate accordingly. When and if that IPO market starts to come back, then it's going to start to create some liquidity. And liquidity is good for every kind of cycle within venture, from the latest growth stage, biggest companies, to the earliest, smallest stage companies, startups. So this is what we're looking at. And this is, we can see kind of an effect as it knocks on from there. So pay attention to it. There's a couple of big IPOs that are supposedly happening soon, Reddit being one of them. Reddit may be the unlock. If it's a successful IPO, it may encourage more companies that have been waiting to do their IPO to come off the sidelines and actually commit. And if that happens, maybe we start to see a turn in that trend. But for now, understand that's a landscape. Understand the pressures that are being put on all stages of venture investing because of that illiquidity, and act accordingly. So love to hear your comments. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm right. tell me you hate this shirt, but you don't hate this vest because it's a Moment MD vest, and I love those guys. So hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you next time.